Good morning, everybody, and also a big thank you to all of those that have helped to bring us thus far in the service. Lord knows we appreciate you. And before I dive into what I have to share with you, I just want to say I don't want you to think I'm going to rest my hat on the demon and the boy. There's a time for that, but that's just the beginning of it. We're going down to the meat of it. But if you kindly would, I have a picture that I want to share very quickly that just picks up from the last time I stood up here. And it's the picture of these gentlemen mining for diamonds. And so I want to say to somebody that might be on the verge of giving up and throwing in the towel, you're closer than what you think. And don't give in. You are probably on the verge, as I said to you before, probably on the verge of God working one of his biggest miracles in your life. So I just wanted to remind somebody, because the way life is, sometimes we want to give up all the time. So I just want to say to somebody under the sound of my voice, don't give up, don't give in. That is not who God has called us to be. Amen. Amen. If you show me my next picture there, I love that. It says, but I'm not giving up. I'm sticking around to see what God will do. Isn't that powerful? There's a little song that I grew up with that said, I believe I will run on to see what the end will be. And so yet again, one more time, to anyone under the sound of my voice, God has not called you to give up nor to give in. You hang in there and you keep on going. Amen? Amen. Well, y'all don't sound like you want to keep on going. Amen. Okay, that's what a church sounds like. So we're going to dive in with that. Now, if I had the chance with this particular sermon, I would have titled it Blocks. Since we're in a series of Not What You Think, we will deal with belief, but I would have titled this Blocks. And for the subtitle, I would have done Stumbling Blocks versus Building Blocks. So keep that in your back pocket. And so what I want to say to you is I look around and I see folks that probably are no strangers to articulating the affirmation of faith. Just about everybody in here could say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all of these other things. We're no strangers to who God is and believing who he is and who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit is. But my goal for you today is to hopefully get you to think about and believe in the mighty move of God or the works of God. It's easy for us to rattle off what God has done, but can we believe in what God is doing and will do? Since the last time I stood before you and we talked about being in the wilderness, I don't know about you, beloved, but I have truly felt that in my spirit. And this church, not the global church, not the church at large, but this church, in so many ways, we have had a lot of things that have caused us to feel pain and to feel disbelief. Just in this service, we have lost a gentleman that would stand right there and greet us when we would walk through that door. And not only that, some of us woke up to the unfortunate news of the passing of Linda Miller, and yet again, it shifted us into disbelief. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I didn't have a conversation with God that went a little something like this. Lord, are you sure? I said, I had a list of people that... that you could have, but are you sure? I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, we really needed to hear. But we understand that God has a way that sometimes we don't understand in the moment. But yet again, it shifts us into moments of disbelief. So yet again, what do you do when you pray for someone and you ask that God will heal them and he does it a different way? And you say, God, I believed in you. But yet again, God chose to heal Robert in a different way. And yet again, beloved, sometimes these things can shift us into disbelief. And I'll take this and make this a little personal. Just then a month later after Linda, about a week ago, the Choral Guild, the community choir, one of the community choirs here in Valdosta, meets in the choir room, and one of our members, I teased her at the end of the service, at the end of the rehearsal, and I said to her, I said, hey, you should have reminded me to share with everyone about sharing the Facebook post. And she said, yeah, that's right, I forgot, blah, blah, blah. And we talked and chatted, and said, all right, see you later. And mind you, our concert was in 6 days from that time. And she went home. She did share the post, but she went home and the Lord called her in her sleep. And I said, yet again, God, are you sure? Sweet as pie. And it's been those types of moments that, yet again, coming from the blocks moment, that I would use as a stumbling block to my belief. Not saying that I don't believe in God, but sometimes it gets me to the point where, Lord, I know you're there, but are you still working? Are you still moving? And if we would be honest with ourselves, many of us have been there. And might be there right now. I wish I had a witness to say amen. Okay, there's somebody with me. Amen. And there's enough bad news in the world that can create stumbling blocks. There's enough bad news in Valdosta, in Georgia, in the United States, and as I said, in the world. Our everyday pressures of life will start having us question what we believe. So we find our text with a man that would fit right in that situation with us. So he goes to the disciples and he asks the disciples to help his son. And so the disciples aren't able to drive out this spirit. And so there's an argument and all of that going on. And so the man begins to have disbelief. Jesus overhears him, comes up and says, well, what's going on? He says, I asked your disciples for help and they could not help me. How many of you have ever felt like you've been going for help and trying to get help in all the wrong places, so to speak, and you start to give up hope and yet again deal with unbelief? And so it becomes this thing of a roller coaster of belief or a roller coaster of faith or a roller coaster of hope. My good friend and prayer partner uses this phrase, hope deferred. But I love what happens when Jesus begins to talk with the gentleman. And the man says, if you can do anything, can you help us? Now he's desperate. He's done everything he's known how to do, so he's desperate at this point. If you can do anything, can you help us? I believe in his soul, he sounded just like that baby. And Jesus says, if you can. Now, mind you, Jesus was much kinder than I, so he probably didn't say it like that. He probably said, if you can. Yeah, that's probably what he would have said, but had he been me, you know, if you can. Have you heard about what I just did? And if you read the fifth book of Mark, the fifth chapter of Mark, you'll find all manner of miracles, signs, and wonders that the Lord has worked in that chapter. So I hope you give it a chance. You know, he's just crossed the Red Sea and cast a demon out of the man, Legion, I believe. And there's several others in there. So if you get a chance, read that. But nevertheless, Jesus says, if you can. And that gives us what we need to know today. He says, all things are possible for the one that believes. And this is where the building blocks come. So let's go to Mark, the fifth chapter, verse 35 through 36. And it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? That means throw her in the towel. Let's go on home. Let's go grieve and wail, essentially, because that happens later on in the chapter. But overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. And these are some desperate situations. Let me take you to one more. Yet again, I told you Mark 5 is full of it. Go to Mark 5, verse 27, verse 28. One of my favorites. And listen to this. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. This is the woman with the issue of blood. She had been dealing with her issue for 12 years, I believe the Bible says. She had spent all of her money going to all of the physicians at that time, and none of them could help her. But I want to say to you, the key part in that is she heard about Jesus. And so she found herself in a desperate situation. The power of testimony has caused her to believe and activated her faith. So I want to say to you this morning, when was the last time your belief activated your faith? There's a song that we shared in Coral Gill last week, and I absolutely love it, and it's entitled When You Believe. And there's a line there that says, there can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. I love that. Though hope is frail, it is hard to kill. And so here's one thing I want to charge everyone under the sound of my voice that God has done something for. As I said before, when we recite the affirmation of faith and when we talk about who God is and what God has done, it tends to be a lot of past tense. But if we truly believe that God is who he is, then we ought to start having some present tense in how we speak about God. Amen, somebody. So if God has healed anyone in this church at any point in your life, you ought to be a testimony to what God can do. Believers build, there's my word again, believers build believers. When you think about this woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. When's the last time we in this church told each other about what God has done? Now, if we have a hard time thinking about that, does that mean that God has retired? or that God is out of miracles. We have got to be a church that knows without a shadow of doubt that God can do anything but fail. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, I usually tell you before I get up here, don't get quiet on me now. We don't want to be people that are tight-lipped about what God has done in our lives. If God has truly done something for us, we want to be able to run and tell the whole world what he is able to do. Because yet again, believers build believers. If you give me Psalms 1, 7, and 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. King James says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's another one. Go to Psalms 145 for me, please. And it says, one generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. So let's build up our belief together by telling each other about the goodness of God and what he is able to do. We don't want to be a church that only recites what God has done in the days of old. God is still in the blessing business. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about the tangible, but I'm talking about when you get sick and you find yourself where you can't get well, but somehow, somehow, God has healed you. When you find yourself without any peace in your life, God gives you peace that passes all understanding. We ought to be able to say, for God I live, for God I die. So much so that when people see us out in the world, they want to say, what is it that is in you that makes you live the way that you do? You evidently must believe in something that I don't have. That's the church God is looking for. Not just out in the world, but here at Valdosta First. So I want to charge yet again, everyone that God has done something for, don't keep it to yourself. We have plenty of people in this church that are hurting, that are on the verge of giving up. But your testimony can allow them to hang on in there just a little while longer. Amen, somebody. Lastly, I want to take you to Philippians 4 and 8. As we think about building our faith, and as I told you about the things that come to eat at our belief, rather, we want to focus on what is going to build it up. And I love this scripture when Paul is ending his greetings to the church of Philippi. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. So when you find your belief wavering, when you find your faith wavering, when you find your hope giving out or running out or coming to the end of it, meditate on these things, because we have to believe that God is still on the throne, that he just wasn't a God that was moving for Noah and for Jacob and for Paul and Silas and all the rest of the saints of old. We have to still believe that what he did for our grandmother and our grandfather, he can still do for us. For otherwise, our coming to church is for naught. Our reciting the affirmation of faith is for naught. If we truly believe in God, we want to believe that God is a present help in the time of trouble. and not that he was a present help, but he is a present help. And I do love the way the Father ended his talk with Jesus. He said, I do believe. He said, please help me with my unbelief. And that is my prayer for every one of you, that when you find yourself in a situation of unbelief, whether you're in it now or going to be in it later on, that God would come and strengthen you in that unbelief. So as our praise team comes up, I'm going to ask that you pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, as we have meditated on your word, we pray that you would truly help our unbelief. There's so many things in the world that can cause us to not believe in the fullness of who you are. There's so many things that happen in the world that want to rob us of our belief and make us blind to the fact that you can still make ways out of no ways, and that you're not done working in our lives, that you're not done moving and working in the world. So Lord, where we have unbelief, we ask that you would strengthen us and help our unbelief. This is our prayer this morning, and we count it all done in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. And may we all say, amen. Amen.